In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having worked as an archaeologist in the Middle East, when we added the new north wing of our church building 2 years ago, I was wondering if anything interesting would be uncovered in our excavations here. Maybe some Native American artifacts or burials or the remains of an early settlement. I didn't know whether to be disappointed or relieved when nothing at all seemed to be down in that hole. But I suppose for the sake of getting our addition done, I should have been relieved. Nothing slows down construction like those archaeologists who dig with picks and trowels instead of backhoes and loaders. The fact that nothing at all was unearthed here demonstrates a big difference between the old world and the new world, between block and a city like Philippi, to which Paul's letter to the Philippians was addressed. In terms of Kansas history, Block really is an old community, with my ancestors and many of yours settling here just after the Civil War. But Philippi also dates from the Civil War era, the Roman Civil War of 42 BC. The area around Philippi has been occupied for thousands of years. There is no way you could ever dig a hole as deep and big as we did here for our addition anywhere near Philippi and not come upon some really interesting and significant archaeological remains. Philippi was originally founded in 356 BC by Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. When the Romans conquered the Greeks, Philippi became a Roman city. And in 42 BC, the decisive battle of the Roman Civil War, sort of the Roman version of Gettysburg, was fought at Philippi, when Mark Antony and Octavian defeated Brutus and Cassius for control of the Roman Empire. The end of the Roman Civil War left way too many soldiers in the Roman army. So as happened with our military after World War II, there was a great mustering out. They offered soldiers buyouts for early retirement, and in honor of the great military victory at Philippi, that city was turned into a very privileged colony for retired Roman soldiers. So a military culture pervaded in the city of Philippi, with many people there being either retired soldiers or their relatives. That helps us understand what Paul is saying in our text from today's epistle reading, as we continue our fall sermon series on the book of Philippians. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, fighting together for the faith of the gospel. You are invited to follow the sermon outline on the last pages of the bulletin as we consider this text under the theme, The Code of Christian Conduct. Paul is using military language here, terms and concepts very familiar to the people of Philippi. In the military, you are expected to conduct yourself in a certain way. We call it the Code of Military Conduct. Often the Code of Military Conduct is simply summed up this way: don't bring disgrace upon your uniform. Paul says in Galatians, all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. By virtue of your baptism and your faith in Jesus Christ, you also are part of an army, Christ's spiritual army. In the Book of Common Prayer, there's actually an ancient prayer for after baptizing a baby that puts it this way: may this child fight under Christ's banner against sin, the world, and the devil, and continue as Christ's faithful soldier unto its life's end. You are spiritually clothed in the invisible uniform of this spiritual army, the righteousness of Christ himself. Revelation says, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is the spiritual uniform you are privileged to wear as a soldier in Christ's army of faith. Nothing less than a robe made white in his blood, symbolizing that your sins are all forgiven because of his sacrifice for you. Paul describes the uniform of faith in Christ in Ephesians, comparing each part to the typical uniform of a Roman soldier. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So just as with the military, the code of Christian conduct can also be summed up very simply, don't bring disgrace upon your uniform. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul says the same thing in his other epistles. In Ephesians, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. In Colossians, live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. In 1 Thessalonians, live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. In life, you are constantly confronted with situations where you must make a decision. Is this right for me to do? Maybe you're facing that kind of decision right now. Just remember who you are. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. By virtue of your baptism and your faith in Jesus Christ, you are part of Christ's spiritual army. You are spiritually clothed in the invisible uniform of his army, the righteousness of Christ himself. Don't bring disgrace upon your uniform. That is the code of Christian conduct. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Amen.